You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com, where audio files are available for download. You can write to the show by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. If you'd like a full transcript, you'd better get a pen. All aboard the English Express.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us here on the English Express Radio Podcast with Cliff and Brandon. I'm feeling pretty good. I was tired when I first got up, but I'm feeling good now.
I'm glad you're feeling great, Cliff.
Are you not?
I'm a little disoriented. I'm kind of tired.
Look at your hair, dude. You didn't even do it today.
It's rad. Yeah, dude. For those of you listening for the first time, I just wanted to kind of give you a rundown for what the show is all about. If you pictured the English Express like the 2016 United States presidential election, Clifton would be Donald Trump, and I would be the confused Star Trek convention goer who wandered into the wrong hall and doesn't know how to get out.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, it's pretty much what the English Express is.
Now, I got a couple of questions about you. Is there anything in your dating life or married life that bothers you, that women do, that drive you nuts?
Hell to the yeah.
How about having a talk about having a talk?
I'm usually the one to initiate that.
Okay, this doesn't happen as much in my married life, but it happened a lot when I was dating when I was younger. And they're like talking about the importance of having deep talks. And I'm like, why? I'm like, is there one coming? Because right now we're just like talking about why it's important to have a talk. And so I'm sitting there waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, like she's prefacing this with a talk. But no, it's important to have deep talks. We're not going to have one.
This classifies me firmly in the camp of pussy, but I'm usually the one to initiate those talks where it's like, hey, we have a problem in our relationship. I'm like, hey, we need to discuss these things, bring it out into the open so that we both understand where we are on the same page. We both see where we're coming from. And yeah. Yeah, I'm the one to because my wife has some communication issues where if she has a problem with something, her solution is to shut down and stop talking about it.
Wow, so, it's like the roles are reversed.
Yeah, she's one of those people, if you know something's bothering her, the best way you'll know is if she's doing nothing. That's if she's not making any angry noises, no angry faces, and doing nothing aggressive to you at all, there's a problem and you should check in with her.
I always got that. Thank goodness, you know, as a married guy, I don't have to deal with this one anymore, because I don't think I would have gotten married to this. This is how I knew it was time to break up. When you get the crossed arms and you're like, sweetie, is there something wrong? Nope, nothing.
I'm fine.
And I'm like, you're clearly not fine. Yes, I am.
No, I'm fine. Everything's fine. It's just fine.
Okay, here's one that does happen to me. Hassling him about watching sports.
You know, I think the problem is women don't understand what a pivotal moment in sports is, or what an important moment in sports is. You see, there are times in a sports game where you can't look away. I mean, literally, you will have your man card revoked if you look away. You must stay glued to the screen. And that time is every time that the clock is ticking. Every second the game is on, it's that time. Go away.
The thing that I get nowadays isn't watching sports. I'm sorry. Like if I watch football or something that my wife likes, everything's fine. Okay. But when I turn on the NBA finals, you know, why are you watching this? And I'm like, it's the NBA finals. You know, well, why are you watching so many games? And I'm like, well, it was the playoffs before this. You know, it's not like I watch the entire season, but when it's the playoffs, I want to watch the game, you know?
Yeah.
Or I watched the Giants win the series. What was it, last year, the year before last? And she's like, why are you watching this? I'm like, it's the World Series. You know, well, let's turn it off. And I'm like, how about no? I'm watching this.
Do you watch baseball and basketball at any other time of the year?
No.
Wow.
During the playoffs, I want to see what's going on. You know, I'm not like look, when it comes to football, I do watch. This is American football for the people not in America. But when it comes to football, I watch all season. I watch every game. But basketball and baseball, I'll turn it on every once in a while and check out a game. But I get hassled for that too. And I'm just like, what? Is it really that big of a deal? But and it's not just my wife. I don't mean to impugn her, because it's been like every girlfriend I've ever had, ever.
Dude, some chicks just don't like sports. They see it as stupid. It's like, why do you want to sit here for 60 minutes and watch men throw an inflated ball into a metal ring? This is the stupidest sport ever. And it's like, dude, go try it and then tell me how stupid it is. Then you'll see why I'm amazed when Steph Curry pulls up 3 feet in front of the half court line and sinks it like it's a free throw. That's amazing to watch. And,
right. And you love it. Women just don't get it. They try to get it. They semi get it, but they don't really get it.
Oh, look, he threw the ball in the hoop again. Oh, look, that man blocked it. Ooh.
And in other countries, it's about soccer. Of course, I agree with the women about soccer. I'm like, woo, pass the ball. Pass.
Oh, look, you pass it to him.
Out of bounds.
No, if you ever want to watch a sport and really enjoy it, you should watch it with a fan of that sport. Because my first time watching soccer was watching it with dad. And I mean, I think the final score was 2-1. And it was like one of the most exciting games I had watched, because he was like really into it and explaining everything that was going on. And it was fun. I liked it.
Okay. I went to a game when I was in Moscow. Okay. And somebody I was hanging out with.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt you. It's pronounced Moscow.
No, there are no cows in Moscow.
Moscow.
It's actually Moskva. So, this girl I was hanging out with, she had got some tickets from her company that she worked for. She worked for Kia down there. And so I went to go see like Rubin versus, I don't know, whatever the Moscow team is. And you can see I'm a huge fan. Okay. So I went there. I wish I could remember who it was, but anyway, so I go to this game and we got to sit in like this really cool box. I was right on the 50-yard line, even though I don't know what they call the 50-yard line in soccer, but I was on it.
Midfield, I think it's called.
Okay. Midfield. I was right there and people were like into it all around me. Anytime the ball would get near the goal, people would start ripping out their hair going, oh, what? Ah, ah, and gets kicked nowhere near the goal. And they'd be like, oh, oh. You know? And I'm like, dude, it was not even close.
You got to get excited about something, though.
But people got freaked. Okay. So I watch this entire game from start to finish, okay, 0-0, and all of a sudden people start leaving, and I'm like, where are y'all going?
It's a tie, dude.
And I'm like, what the hell do you mean? I'm like, there's no points on the board. And they're like, yep, it's over. And I'm like, what does that mean? They go, they each got a point. A point? They don't have any points. I'm looking at the board. There's no points. And they go,
I'm pretty sure. Isn't it a half a point for a tie?
I don't know, but look,
I'm pretty sure they do it a half a point for a tie and a full point for a win.
And that's only in terms of the rankings.
Yeah.
You know, like to see who gets ahead. Oh, look, it was a pointless waste of time. I'm like, I came to this game. I just spent like 2 freaking hours of my life getting to the game, buying concessions, you know, trying to get out of the game. And I'm like, and it just ended. No, oh. I want to see a shootout.
It gets worse for me, dude, because it takes the sport, the way the sport is geared, it takes away the motivation to win before the game even starts. I think it was Team USA last World Cup was saying, all we have to do is tie the next two games and we'll get into the playoffs.
Win!
They went into the game trying to tie. That was their goal, was to tie.
Why wouldn't they go into the game trying to win?
Win. Like, that's the point of the game.
Yes. Apparently not with soccer. So I have a hard time understanding the passion. Because that's the thing, man. The passionate fans are really, really passionate.
I would venture to say more passionate than almost any other type of sports fan in the world.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. Write us your hate mail, info@theenglishexpress.com. Let us know why we're wrong, because honestly, I really want to know why we're wrong. Okay.
I don't know about you, Cliff, but every time I play checkers, I like to set the board up and sit there with 2 for 2 hours with my opponent and then say, good game, chap, and walk away. That sounds like the best game of checkers ever.
Okay. And the last one is asking answerless questions. This one, thankfully, again, is not a big issue in my household right now. But like, how do I look in this clothes? Do I look as old as this person over here? And you're like, what? No, why are you asking me these questions? Women do that all the time.
No, if you were really cool, it would be like, do these pants make my ass look big? Well, take them off, baby. Let's do a side-by-side. Like, come on, man. Play a game with it.
Have you ever been engaged in underage drinking?
Yeah, legally, no. If there's any officers listening, I have never engaged in underage drinking.
How did you?
My brother did not share pineapple spearmint schnapps with me when I was 12. That never happened.
Oh, I remember that.
When you were
out on the town, you know, at a friend's house, underage drinking, how'd you get home?
Bike.
By a bike. Okay. Well,
I mean, I didn't drink is what I meant to say.
Well, two girls, aged 16 and 17, went out with some friends and got drunk.
Mm-hmm. It's as 16 and 17-year-old girls are apt to do.
It happens. Right. So they were sitting there and wondering, how do we get home? And they thought, hey, you know, the right thing to do is not to drive. Because they had licenses. They had cars. But they go, you know what? We should probably not drink and drive. And to that, I say, kudos. That's a good choice.
That's a mature decision for a 16 and 17-year-old to make.
Slightly less mature decision is calling the state police for a ride home.
Guys.
Upon arrival, it was determined that both juveniles had been consuming copious amounts of alcohol, and the 17-year-old provided a false name, which, guess what, is a crime.
Yeah, I wonder what their first clue was that they were sloshed. Maybe that they were asking the police for a ride. I was
like, can we get a ride home? He's like,
protect and serve me in a taxi service.
And I'm sure the police officer's like, I'd be happy to give you a ride.
Can you send the yellow cop car?
We are going to send a cop car, but he's not taking you home.
I want the cute Tajikistanian.
They were both charged with underage consumption of alcohol, and the 17-year-old girl was charged with providing false identification to law enforcement. So, not a good idea, girls. Do not do that.
Yeah, don't. Walk, God bless America. Walk home.
Now, when we come back from break, we've got an alien pile. I am excited about this. So we'll be right back here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
Yeah. Do you have a hole in your shoe?
Let me check. No.
Then how'd you get your foot into it?
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a
bear sighting?
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
At one second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast, the only radio show that supplements your English from some guy's garage. All aboard the English Express.
Welcome back to the show. This is the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit the website, theenglishexpress.com. Send us emails, lots and lots and lots of emails. Info at theenglishexpress.com. I do have a few, but we're not going to do listener mail today. So,
boo.
If you wrote in, suck it. We're not doing your thing today.
No, I want to hear the emails.
I don't have them ready, so you're just going to have to wait until next week.
Fine. But, I'll suck it on behalf of the entire audience.
But we are going...
Lucky me.
Okay. Never mind. Okay, we are... but we will do listener mail next week, so send in info at theenglishexpress.com. You can also... comment on Facebook. I do get those. You can comment through the website. We get them all. So yeah, check it out. TheEnglishExpress.com. What would you do if your wife died?
Before or after the party?
After. After the party. Okay. Right. She's been dead for 2 years. You know, I mean, like, it's a sad thing, right?
I haven't put a lot of thought into it. I know that I have 2 children with her, so that, I mean, obviously they're going to come first.
Sure. But at some point you move on. I mean, you work through it. You go through all of the things. And what do you do 2 years later when she shows up on television?
What?
You're watching TV. Okay. This is in Morocco. All right. And, Abreg Mohammed is watching a popular Moroccan TV show that helps people reunite with loved ones. And he's feeling like his wife had died in a car accident. That's what he had always believed. That's what the authorities told him. And then he hears his wife, by name, call into the TV show.
What?
Yeah, and he's like, she's not dead. At the time when she had her accident, doctors told her that, she's not going to survive, but we really need you to pay her medical bills up front. And so he's like, you know, will it help her? Well, we're going to try, but after you pay the bills, we'll try to keep her alive. So he drove 4 hours to his town to get the money. And when he got back, they said, oh, she died, but give us the money. Okay.
No. So,
that's why it was, well, he paid him. Actually, it doesn't say, but, because I'd be like, no, what are you going to do? Come after me. You killed her. So it was a major shock when they, and multiple people sees her on television and they go, man, she's like, sounds just like you. It was called The Disappeared. Friend said it sounded just like your wife, and she even gave his name and address.
What in the world?
How did this happen? Muhammad said,
possible?
Right. He said, well, I didn't know that it was a different body that we buried, and my wife was still alive. Oh,
where did that body come from?
That whole thing. Oh, you know, you go to the hospital, sir, your wife is dead. Here's her body. And, oh, we didn't bother to see that we switched the names, you know. Meantime, the family of the woman who actually died, they're like, you know, oh, she's just fine. She pulled through.
What? nobody notices. No one. Oh, you look awfully different. I know. I see you 7 inches, and your skin color has changed. Oh yeah, Ma. That's just what happens at the hospital.
Well, some say that she lost her memory, but it's really unclear what actually happened and how the hospital messed up the situation.
I bet she Morocco. Was tired of her husband. She was just tired of her husband and wanted a vacation.
Something, man. I don't know. She paid them off. Now it's time for Tales from Beyond the Alien Pile.
You mean like beyond the Mexican border?
No, not illegal aliens. Alien aliens. Okay, and supernatural. It's the supernatural and alien pile.
Okay.
Have you ever seen The Conjuring?
No.
Have you ever seen The Conjuring 2?
No.
Well, at a screening of The Conjuring 2 in India, a 65-year-old man started feeling some chest pains. I mean, it was a scary movie for him. I guess when you're 65, it's like...
Shit, when you're 65, going outside is scary.
There's got ghosts in it!
Oh, there's a wind!
And right at the height of the movie, he collapsed. He passed out.
Is he okay?
Well, they waited till the movie ended, and then they took him to a hospital. Yeah, you gotta finish the movie. They're at the best part.
It's really impolite to stand up in the middle of a film.
So after the film was over, they took him to the hospital where he was pronounced dead.
Uh-oh.
And the staff ordered the body taken to another hospital. But then the person who was transporting the body and the body itself simply vanished. And no one has seen them since.
It's the body that they took to the other house.
Yeah, of course. On the news media, they've got all kinds of supernatural explanations. But some people think it might just be a publicity stunt for a movie about supernatural things.
Possibly. It could be that he's trying to go sell the bones to somebody else.
It could be. You're right. He's selling the body to science. Hello, I have something for sale for you. It is a body. I would like to donate myself to science. Right now.
I would like to donate myself
to science. Here's
the body.
Sir, you're not dead. Yes, I am. Here is my body. I would like to donate to science. Allow me to sign the papers.
It's good sale. Good price.
Yeah, very good price.
Best price.
All right. So it turns out, what is the most... When you think of Saturn, what is the most distinguishing thing about Saturn?
The fact that it's been married like 7 times. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. No?
Okay. It's got rings. It does have rings.
It's got multiple rings.
Well, it appears that scientists who have always said that the rings are billions of years old, they may be younger than the dinosaurs.
Hmm.
In fact, the planet's rings and many of the 62 moons didn't even form until dinosaurs were like almost on their way out. They say that Saturn's moons and the rings, caused by tidal forces that they constantly exert on each other, what they did was they created a computer model capable of mapping out their history. So they started where they were and kind of mapped out where they came from. And they figured out that the orbits of the moons hasn't changed as much as they would expect them to if it was like, 5 billion years ago, the way they believed. They thought it was like 4.5, 5 billion years ago. And they go, geez, they've barely moved. They're like, it's like it's brand new. The orbits have almost strong. Not changed at all. Exactly.
They're tight. It's like if you were to ride a bicycle and tighten up all the bolts and start riding it. And, that bike would feel a lot tighter. But if you ride it for, 3,000 miles, you're going to need to tighten it up a little bit. It's going to get loose.
And they're basically saying it's not loose. And conversely, the rings are shifting too quickly to be very old. So that because the longer you go, the kind of more settled the things get. So they're like wobbling around doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And they go, you know what? These aren't old at all. So they're looking at it could be about 100 million years ago.
That's pretty crazy.
And dinosaurs roamed the Earth from 230 million years ago to just 66 million years ago. So, you know, dinosaurs.
What was the nightly rate on the dinosaur rooms?
I don't know.
I've just never heard of dinosaurs roaming the Earth before. And
roaming. I'm like, rooming? What the hell are you talking about?
I know you're in the hospitality business. I thought you'd have an inside track on this expense.
So, do you believe in aliens?
No.
You don't believe in aliens?
Not at all.
Well, if you do believe in
aliens. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me backtrack a little bit. I believe that there is life that is existing on other planets, much the same that there was life existing on this planet prior to humans, such as micro life and plant life and bacterial life, possibly even some animals, like animals like we might see them, complex creatures, might be on other planets. There ain't no human-like creatures, higher intelligence, okay. in my opinion.
I mean, any kind of aliens. Let me ask you this. If they were out there, would you like to meet one?
Yeah.
Well, you may be in for a very long wait, according to astronomers at Cornell. They say that it could be 1,500 years, 1,500 years before aliens contact the Earth. They say a Cornell student named Evan Solomondes says, well, we haven't heard from the aliens yet because space is a really big place, but that doesn't mean that nobody's out there. So he's arguing with you, who says you don't think that there's intelligent life out there. He says, well, there still could be. But his research is based partly on deconstructing the Fermi paradox. Okay? What they basically figured out is the aliens have had plenty of time to contact the Earth. Why haven't they? What's your answer?
Okay, so we're assuming aliens are out there. My thing would be, we don't even know how big space is. So if we were using the only form of communication that we know about, such as like transferring it on waves, mm-hmm. if they were using that form of communication, that wave takes time to travel distance. And the distance is so unimaginably vast that it would take millions of years, hundreds of thousands of years to send a wave across a long distance.
Okay, so they kind of look at the research that the aliens have had enough time to contact Earth and combine it with Copernicus theory. You know, he's from the 1500s. And, you know, who is more up on current space technology than Copernicus?
Right. That's who I would think of. They said, who do you want to solve the theory of relativity? Screw Einstein. I need Copernicus.
Well, he said that the Earth's physical attributes are not unique and that the natural processes are likely common throughout the cosmos. And so they combined those two theories and they came up with an equation. You know, math. You math dorks. They're always using math to solve everything. These are the kind of people who would figure out the circumference of this cookie I'm eating.
I love math, by the way, and I just got to tell you, if you look around, we are in a pretty unique place. I mean, their definition of the, what do they call it, the inhabitable zone, mm-hmm. is so big, and Earth is precariously balanced on like a pinhead of perfection. There's no other planet that's like ours, dude. I'm sorry.
Well, Copernicus begs to differ.
Yeah, well, who's dead and who's alive? Suck it, Copernicus.
So the equation they came up with says that it's probably going to be about 1,500 years from now is an estimated contact point. He says it's possible to hear any time at all, but it becomes likely that we will have heard from them about 1,500 years from now. But until then, it's possible that we appear to be alone, even if we're not. It just looks that way. But if we stop listening or looking, we could miss the signals. So we have to keep looking. Researchers explain that extraterrestrials could actually receive radio and TV signals from Earth. That's what you were talking about. They've been traveling from our planet for about the last 80 years. Aliens, however, would likely find these transmissions indecipherable. They can't, they would have no idea what the hell we're talking about. You know, they're like watching one of my favorite things.
Futurama.
Yeah, Futurama, where what's his name? Lur
from CIA.
Who's watching American television? Single female lawyer. I love that show. Futurama.
Got off track a little bit there.
Yeah, okay, look, but he's watching TV, you know, so maybe they would be able to decipher them, but researchers say they would need to decode light waves into sounds and then parse over 3,000 human languages to interpret the message. What Futurama has he been watching? Lur speaks English. So we know that Earth's broadcast signals have reached every star within 80 light years from the sun. That's over 8,000 stars and 3,500 Earth-like planets. Our Milky Way galaxy alone contains 2 billion stars. They finish by saying, Earth might encounter an alien civilization when about half of the Milky Way galaxy has been signaled, and that'll be about 1,500 years from now. So we've got a bit of a wait.
Yeah, this guy is so narrow-minded in his thinking. They're aliens, dude. If they exist, which as we know, I don't believe that they do, but if they did, their technology has progressed completely independent of ours. Their life may not even be carbon-based. They may be creatures who exist in light waves. We don't know.
And they may be coming to get us.
Boom, boom, boom. No, but I'm saying, like, if they communicate in different ways, if they have different technology, if their infrastructure of existence is different than humans, how do we know when they'll get here? How do we know how they'll talk to us? Like, it doesn't make sense that you could put a timetable, because you're basing that timetable on how we experience things as humans on this planet. You have no idea what's out there.
That brings us to our next article by Stephen Hawking, who says, if aliens exist, they may be coming to get us.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Stephen. Way to not rally up the people there.
He says, if alien intelligent life forms do exist out in the vastness of space, they might not be friendly cosmic neighbors the people of Earth are looking for. For those of you who don't know, Stephen Hawking can't actually talk. He has a computer. I miss, like, the old program. I need to get it again, where you can, like, type in what you want and it speaks those. I got to find that.
I remember that from, like, fifth grade. That's a great tool.
You know what I should have done is got that and put this in and play the game.
Yeah, you should prepare for your shows before you start. I agree.
I'll read it in a normal voice. He says, an advanced spacefaring extraterrestrial civilization, aliens, could end up wandering the universe in enormous spaceships on the prowl for vital materials after consuming the natural resources of their own world. Basically, like space pirates.
Well, if you think about it, if you really put some logic into it, that's the only reasonable idea for why a civilization would be traversing such unimaginable distances. What motivates somebody to leave an atmosphere with everything they need to go out into nothingness to go in search of more? It's got to be something, like he's saying, a natural resource, some form of fuel.
Maybe they want to plant space potatoes.
Maybe. That's true. They should call Matt Damon. I hear he has a good recipe.
Such an advanced alien would perhaps become a nomad, looking to conquer and colonize any planet they could reach.
If so,
I need to sing the Doom song now. It makes sense for them to exploit each new planet for material to build more spaceships so they can move on. who knows what their limits might be. They may even be capable of harnessing solar energy from our sun to open up a wormhole in space to travel to different parts of the universe. So they're
going
to...
Come on, Steven.
So they're going to need a lot of energy for that to travel to the next planet, which means that they need to collect the energy from an entire star, like our sun.
Bum, bum, bum.
They could deploy millions and millions of mirrors in space, encircling the entire sun and feeding the power to one single collection point. What are we going to do?
Ask them how they got so many mirrors.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do.
It's a lot of mirrors, man.
Next story. A laser cloak could hide Earth from evil aliens.
Yes.
A simple laser beam could be the answer to disrupt alien observations of Earth, making it look like there's nobody home on the third rock.
We went from, there must be life out there, but we don't know. We've never been contacted. The next step, let's build a laser. Christ, you guys.
To hide life from evil aliens.
I know that there are still 30% of our world in hunger and poverty, but let's build a space laser.
Columbia graduate student Alex Tichy says that it would be
Alex.
it would be surprisingly easy to wipe out Earth's signal and distort it to even edit out the fingerprint of life. As long as we can discover the locations of the evil snooping aliens.
Yeah, that's a big problem there, buddy.
Okay. This is the whole thing, okay? That I get out of this article. He says, concealing Earth's existence from extraterrestrials would only work if humanity knew where the aliens were living.
You fail so hard, Alex. So hard.
Okay, but here's what they're going to do, all right?
Do you know how much grant money was spent on this guy's project?
A lot.
He wasted to come up with, well, we need to know where the aliens are in order for this to work. You suck, Alex. You suck.
Well, he's not done, though, okay? He wants to avoid the Earth being discovered from alien planet hunters. The key lies in thinking about the way humans have identified most other planets around other stars. It's a process called the transit method. And the way it works is it detects tiny dips in the brightnesses of stars, which can indicate an orbiting planet. Basically, when the planet goes in front of the sun or a star, it like dips. It like the light goes down a little bit. And so that's how we can find out which stars have planets in front of them.
It's like a shadow, but not quite a shadow.
So to make it look like the planet is not here at all, you've got to get rid of that dip. You've got to fill in the missing starlight. So here's what we're going to do. We can build a very bright collection of lasers and aim them towards a star suspected of hosting intelligent life during the time that the Earth is passing in front of the sun from that other planet's perspective. Then the aliens making measurements at that exact moment wouldn't see any change in the solar brightness. So when our planet passes in front of the sun, when it's in line with the enemy alien planet, we're going to shine a laser beam at them to compensate for the dip.
Do you know what the salt flats are?
Yes, it's in Utah. They're very flat.
Very flat for miles. It's where it's called the Bonneville Salt Flats. It's where the land speed record has been broken. Very long distance of flat ground. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the other end of the salt flats. And I'm going to go all the way to the other end of the salt flats. Okay, we're going to be really far away from each other. Then I'm going to take a little laser. Okay, and I'm going to point it at you. Okay, now I want you to tell me if I move it oh, 0.2 inches to the right, just a little bit. You tell me if you can still see that laser.
No, it's
no, that's not shining in your eyes anymore, is it?
Well, he's got an answer for you.
Big dumbass, if you miss the planet that's 400 million light years away by 0.00000001, you failed your whole plan. Your whole plan hinges on you hitting that one planet at the exact moment. Now, wait for it. Wait for it. This is a planet hunting facility or species who has, what is it? That's right, spaceships that exist in other places. So as you shine your one itty-bitty laser light at the exact, oh God, the precise angle to get it right at that planet, you forgot about the 50 star cruisers that are circling you, laughing at you being a dumbass playing with a cat toy.
Okay, he's got an answer for you.
I'm sure he does. Let's hear it, Alex.
He says, I started to think about lasers. Of course you did, Alex. I have a feeling he thinks about lasers a lot.
No, this is the worst part. He has stayed up for months thinking about this. You know he has. He stays up at night thinking about planet hunting aliens and shining lasers at them.
He says, most people might have stopped there because the sun emits so much light. How could you possibly, I know what you're thinking, how could you produce a laser beam that can ever compete with the sun?
Not what but, I was thinking, Alex. Not at all.
But it does turn out that when you actually run through the equations, which I have...
Oh, I'm sure you have. Yeah, you just...
It's really not that bad.
I believe that you have, Alex. I just don't believe you ran the simulation with you making an error. Your simulations all account for you being perfect without any consideration to the fact that you're shining a laser 100 million light years away and moving it just a little bit blanks everything.
Well, he goes on to say we could use it as a bio cloak, which would actually use less power. And, basically, they say, let's not hide the planet. Let's just cancel the features out that look like life. So the alien civilization, they're going to detect your planet. They're going to know how it's going. But when they can use like this bio cloak so that when they check the atmosphere, it doesn't look like a tasty planet. It looks like a dead world.
I'm just wondering. I'm like, he's talking about hiding from all these aliens and blah, blah, blah. I mean, what happens when they're off planet and they see this laser light and they're like, oh, that strange planet with the beam emitting from it. I'm sure that's a dead planet. That must have no life on it. There's just a weird light shining from it. That's nothing to investigate.
So, yeah.
Not a beacon of any kind.
I had to get to that story, man.
It's a street sign that's lit up in neon lights saying, human life here.
You know what? The thing that made me laugh is exactly what you talked about, the progression from, like, is there life out there, to it may be coming for us, and lasers to thwart the planet-eating aliens.
Thank you, Alex, for making the humankind safer. You did a service to us all.
All right. Thanks for joining this week. Email us, info@theenglishexpress.com with listener mail. We'll be back next week with more stimulating talk radio available for download from the iTunes store and the website. So visit us on theenglishexpress.com and make sure you like us on Facebook and share us with your friends. Until next time, we'll be back on the English Express Radio Podcast.
Hello, this is the Swamp Thing. Believe me, you should always listen to the English Express Radio Podcast because, well, do you really have anything better to do?
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.